All right, praise God. So in Ephesians chapter 2, this is where this has been kind of, if you will, the key verse. Let's go ahead and start in verse 4. It says, But God. Oh, aren't you thankful for God? Mm-hmm. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved. And raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we've been talking about being lifted, if you will, into the presence of God. Last week we talked about that we have been positionally lifted. We've been lifted into a position. And that position is in heavenly places. Even though this week you had to be on planet Earth, spiritually speaking, you were seated with him in heavenly places. That will change so many things. We have been lifted not only in position, we've been lifted in that place of prayer. So that when you pray, there's a great power and effectiveness available to you. And you've been lifted in power. Now today, you know, the truth regarding being seated with Christ Jesus, I'm going to ask you this question. Why is that so important, Pastor? Well, it's important because of his death, burial, and resurrection provides us a real lift. This is not imagined. This is not conjured up. This is not some fable or fairy tale. But this is a reality, a spiritual reality for each one of us. That you have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. This has to do with real lift. So today I want to talk about real lift. This is a reality. This is an in him reality. That if you're taking notes, this is part two, real lift. Real lift. And I want you to look at what the word tells us. What the word tells us in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. In verse 14, that's where we're going to be kind of in Ephesians a little bit today. But it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." See, God has given us a place of relationship. When I think of the word real, four letters, real, it is we have been lifted into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with him. It's a relationship that is not just, something that's fictitious. It's not just religious jargon to say I have a relationship with God. You know, it's not religious jargon to say, hey, listen, I'm really not religious. I just believe in Jesus. That may sound like a cliche. It may sound like a token phrase. And sometimes I think we Christians kind of flippantly say it without explaining it. But I got news for you. Jesus is my best friend. Amen. When I've got a rough day, guess who I talk to? I talk to him and I talk to my wife. That's the reality of having Jesus walking with you, living with you, and communing with you. That's the reality of being lifted. You've been lifted into a relationship in the family of God. Now, I wanted you to see that where it says, so you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. You have been brought into relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a relationship that he basically says, come on up. Come on up and be a part of the family of God. You have been brought into a brand new family. You have a brand new family. You know, some people talk about their family heritage, and in the last couple of years, I did the, what was it, 23andMe or one of those things to find out. I knew a lot of it anyway, just because it had been passed down verbally. And of course, there wasn't any surprises really. You know, there was no surprises whatsoever. It's kind of like, okay. They even pinpointed the islands from the Caribbean where my family is from. And they said, oh, some of your family in the last 200 years lived in this island. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. But again, that's on my natural family. How many know you have a spiritual family? And that spiritual family has a DNA, and his name is Jesus. And whatever Jesus is like, that's in you. So you've got to make that connection. That's why we're talking about being lifted. That's why we're talking about being seated with him in heavenly places. Because God has given us a relationship that is beyond just, oh, yeah, well, that's nice. That sounds nice and religious and all that. No, you don't understand. Jesus met me when I was lost. He found me. He found me when I was lost and aimless. He found me. He found me. And he loved me just as I was. But he didn't want me to stay just as I was. And he helped to transform me into the person I am today. Have I arrived? No. But am I in process? Absolutely. Am I thankful for the journey? Yes. Because I have a friend who's closer than a brother. I'm part of the family of God. I'm part of the family of God. So when I think of real lift, I think of number one, a relationship, a real relationship with God Almighty. My Heavenly Father loves me. Go ahead and say that out loud. Say, my Heavenly Father loves me. Say it. I mean, just talk to yourself right now. Just talk to yourself right now. It's okay. David talked to himself. He talked to the Lord, right? He talked. And why did he talk to himself? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? He talked to himself. My grandmother used to say, if you talk to yourself, you got money in the bank. I don't know where that came from. I guess it's an old, what they call an old wives' tale, a myth or a legend, but... Because I was like, I talk to myself all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean I got money in the bank, right? Yesterday I was with a customer and I'm talking to myself because I have three things doing at once. And if anybody knows me, I'm not necessarily the best multitasker in the world. And as I was doing it, I was talking to myself to make sure that I didn't cross anything. You know, and it was, she says, are you talking to me? I said, because you got these masks on, right? And I said, no, don't pay attention to me. I'm talking to myself so I don't confuse anything. She said, oh, good. That's what I thought you were doing, you know? So sometimes, you know, when you talk to yourself, it's okay. But talk to yourself and say, my Heavenly Father loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He accepts me. He believes in me. Because of the Christ that is in me. Amen? That is, we are members of God's household. And the second point, not only are we in relationship with God Almighty, but the real part of this lift is he's given us empowerment. Empowerment. It's a place of power. If you think about, you know, we've been seated with him in heavenly places, right? Now, last week, I went and I took a little journey here. I'm off camera. It's okay. And I said that, you know, a place of seating is a place of rest. But did you know that even in our own language, sometimes we talk about the seat of government? Sometimes, depending on what part of the country you're from, they might say the county seat. What is that? That is the place where the government is housed, right? For Westchester County, does anybody know where the county seat is? You to use that term? Anybody?
White Plains.
It's the seat of government for Westchester County. Does anybody know where the seat of government would be for New York State?
Albany.
Some people think it's New York City, but it's not. It's Albany, right? The seat of government For the United States of America, for history people, Washington, D.C., right? So when we talk about the seat of government, we're talking about a place of authority. When Jesus tells us that we are seated with him in heavenly places, that's a place of authority. That's a place where we get to be partakers, as the Word of God tells us, of the divine nature. I said it last week. No religion on the planet, false religion, I will clarify that, invites us to be part of deity. Actually, Jesus paid the price and said, come on up here. Sit with me. You're seated with him in heavenly places. That's a place of authority. That's a place of position. That's a place of power. And if we look at Ephesians 3, 14 through 16 again, it says this, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. We have this amazing ability to be empowered. Empowered. Now turn with me quickly. It's not in my notes, but I want to go there. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, because again, we're going to see Jesus shares this authority with us. New Testament believers, if you are a believer, doesn't matter what label you put on the outside, what denominational label, but if you are a believer, you've received Christ into your life. Listen to what it says. When he said in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus spoke to them, speaking to the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has been given all authority. Now, verse 19, he now shares that authority. And what does he say? He says, and you go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with you. You know, when I think about having, not only am I in a place of relationship with God, not only am I in a place of empowerment with God, not only am I in a place of those things with God, but not only that, but I also have access. I have access to God. This should change the trajectory of your prayer life. And what do I mean by that? Well, I think sometimes Christians pray, and they say, well, I've been praying. Nothing happens. I've been praying and nothing happens. You know, I think sometimes it's because we haven't really understood how to pray in faith. We haven't understood how to pray from a place of connection with God, a place of relationship, a place of empowerment, a place of access. Because Ephesians 2:18 says this, for through him, that's Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to who? The Father. You have access to the possessor of heaven and earth itself. The one who flung the stars in the universe invites you into a relationship. You have access to him. You can ask him questions. And he will answer you. And he will answer you according to his written word, because he made it clear he's not going to violate his word. He's not going to violate his word. He's not a man that he should lie. So if you find it in the word of God, you know that it is true, and you know that you can bank on it. So what is that? That is a real relationship. We're talking about relationship. We're talking about empowerment. That's a place of authority. When we speak the name of Jesus, it should bring a calm to that situation. It may not go away overnight, It may be something that you deal with for a long time, but every time you get out of sorts, do you know what that phrase means, out of sorts? You kind of get off the rails. Speak the name of Jesus. Out of sorts, I'm using all these kind of phrases, and the kids are kind of looking at me like a puppy dog. All right, so when you get out of sorts, it just means you're out of order, you're out of sorts personally on the inside, right? Speak the name of Jesus. There's authority in that. It'll bring a peace to the storm that is going on the inside of you. And so I want you to see that being seated with him is not some nice cliche. It is a reality of a relationship, of an empowerment, of access to Almighty God. Several years ago, the Lord blessed our family when we had the opportunity to go to a Christian concert in New Jersey. And it was run by it was actually run by a friend of mine, and they did they called it the story tour. They had all these high name Christian artists. And because my friend is very connected with them, he actually said to us, "Listen, come early and I'll give you a tour. Come early, and I'll give you a tour." So we couldn't go through the venue through the front doors. We had to actually go through where all the semi-tractor trailers were, where all the tour buses were, and where everything was, because it was the story tour. And, you know, some of my favorite artists were there. Some of Sarah's were there. And it was really an amazing opportunity. And so my friend met us at the loading dock. That's where he met us. Met us at the loading dock, and we went in through the back door. And then he handed us lanyards that basically gave us access to everything backstage. Everything. The cafeteria that they set up for all the artists. In fact, he said, "Oh, let's go get something to eat. Come on." And we went into the cafeteria. I didn't have to pay for anything. What did I have? I had all access to whatever was being provided. Do you know that you have access to God? You have access to him. You don't have to shrink going into the throne room and, I'm so afraid to go into the throne room. You know, if it was by our own righteousness, we all would be a grease spot on the ground. I'm not talking about our own righteousness. I'm talking about Jesus made us righteous. You can walk in because why? You are in him. Remember last week when I said your name? Write your name on something, put it in your Bible, and just let that remind you of who you are in Christ. And wherever Christ is, you are. Right? Amen. That's an in him reality. So if you're in Christ, that means you're seated with him in heavenly places. You're seated with him. The reality of a relationship, the reality of an empowerment, that he gives you authority to speak his name. And we talked about that in praise and worship. His name is above every name. His name will quiet a storm. His name will cause demons to shudder. I'm telling you, God wants us to understand the real lift that he has given each one of us. This lift in God is not some myth. It's not some fantasy. It is a lift that takes us to a different place. When you pray, you are praying from a different place in your life than just trying to grovel and beg into God's presence. You, as a child of God, get to walk in. You're not second class. You get to walk in and you have all access. Getting back to our story, we were there really early for this concert. So we got shown our seats very early. The arena was actually empty. And we're the first people to sit down. They hadn't even let the people in the front door. And we came in and we sat down, found our seats. And then, my friend came up to us and he said, "Hey, if you want to go around back and go look around, go look around. Just go. Just go." We had full access. Do you know God wants us to be that inquisitive? And I remember Andrew was a little younger at that time, and he wanted to go in the back, and we, you know, you had to use facilities and make sure, you know, and we got to see the dressing rooms, we got to see the guitar case with all the guitars. My daughter got to pick up Natalie Grant's microphone that is all sparkly.
Oh, wow.
We had devotions with Stephen Curtis Chapman. And we're sitting in like this prayer circle with all of these Christian artists, and I'm like, Lord, why am I here? And he goes, well, because you know the guy who runs it. And I'm thinking, okay, that's really cool, but now I want you to translate that to your relationship with God. You know the guy who runs everything. You can have that curiosity. You can go and look and ask questions and be curious. You know, pick up the microphone. I mean, at one point, Sarah got to hold Natalie Grant's sparkly microphone, Grammy Award-winning artist, and stand on the stage of this arena that was totally empty. And we looked up, and there's a picture here that I have in my heart. We looked up, and there were ladies, two ladies, walking around the entire nosebleeds of the arena, touching every single chair. And my friend says, you know what they're doing? I go, no. And he goes, they're praying over every chair. For hours. Every chair in the thousands of places in the arena in New Jersey. Trenton, New Jersey. Whatever arena that's called. I don't know what it's called anymore, but it's there. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. Now here's the picture. Those who have died in Christ and have gone on before us are like up in the arena. And they're cheering you on.
Yeah.
They're like, you can do it.
Yeah.
Nivi, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, Janet, you can do it.
Yeah.
Colin, you can do it. You can do it, Alex. You can do it, Anita. Brenda, you can do it.
Yeah.
You can make it.
Yeah.
You can make it. And so when we think of this relationship, when we think of this empowerment, when we think of this all access, you know, the Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly, 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 ask big. Go ahead and ask big. I think sometimes, you know, religion kind of teaches us, well, you just got to be thankful for anything you got. And yes, of course, we should always be thankful for anything we have. Absolutely. But sometimes the religious mindset robs you of this access and this ability to be bold. Ask big. Ask big for God. Ask Him. Ask Him. Go ahead and ask Him. Because nothing is too hard for Him. Do we truly trust Him? That's what we're talking about. A relationship with Christ that I'm seated with Him. That is a place of rest. That's a place of authority. That's a place of relationship. That's a place that God sets us in that place that will help get you through whatever comes at you in life. You know, all of us, we live in a fallen world. Life comes at every single one of us. Every single one of us. Life comes at us. And then sometimes it's not fun when life comes at us. You know, Pastor Lewis lost a cousin recently to death. Too young to die. That's not easy. Especially if it's somebody that you played with and that you grew up with. Not easy. And life comes at us in this fallen world. And the scripture tells us life is but a vapor. And this fallen world that we live in is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. That we would rise up and take the place seated with Christ in heavenly places, that we would be bold. You know, years ago when I was sitting in class at Rhema, there was a teacher at Rhema, and he would, you know, I'll never forget, the light just turned on for me when it came to this concept of boldness. That if we were going to be bold, it had to do with knowing God was with us. Knowing that God was with us. That produces a boldness in us. That God is with you. So if you get yourself like starting to feel a little low, starting to feel like maybe God doesn't really want to listen to me, I want you just to remember what the scripture says. That, remember, we just read it there. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Verse 20, Matthew 28, he's with you. And the word tells us that he will never leave nor forsake us. He's not going to leave you abandoned.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay? He loves you. You have a relationship with him. You have been empowered with him. You have all access to him and all access to everything that he has. Everything that he has, you have that access to. Now again, so that no one misunderstands me and says, Pastor, saying that we're like God. I'm not saying that. He invites us to participate. We are created in his image. He is always above us. Always. But remember, Adam was the God of this world. He had authority over planet Earth. He had authority over the garden. He squandered that. And that's why we live in the fallen place that we live. But Jesus came to restore, help us to be seated with him, to be lifted in that relationship, to be lifted and empowered in a place of authority, and to have access to God Almighty. And I want you to notice that the word also tells us, and go ahead and turn to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Often I just quote it, but I want you to see it. Jesus speaking in John 10 and verse 10. This is going to help you spell the word real out. If you haven't been taking notes, R-E-A-L. The fourth point of this message is L, life. Notice what it says in verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and they might have it abundantly.
Amen.
Abundantly. That word is super abundant in the Greek language. And the word life is zoe. The God kind, the God quality, if you will, of life. You see, Jesus, you know, he came to give us life. He came to restore what was broken. He came to put you in a different place of relationship. We started off by saying, hey, we used to be, remember past tense? When we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, when we were lost, when we were without hope, without God, when we were unregenerate, when we didn't have a relationship with God, we were what? Dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins, lost, hopeless, not a good place to be. But God, that's how we started off today. But God, who's rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy. He treats us better than we deserve, right? That's what he does. He treats us better than we deserve. And he gives us grace, which is God's power, his passion, his ability to do inside of you what you cannot do yourself. So he gives us a relationship. He gives us an empowerment. He gives us access and he gives us life. That's being lifted like into a different place. A different place. Each one of us. This is not a fairy tale. It's not fantasy. It's not just religious jargon. I'm telling you, this is a reality. That if you would step out by faith and live this reality life, this reality in your life, it will change your prayer life. It will change how you face obstacles. Because when the obstacles and life does come, and sometimes it comes faster than you want it to, life does come. And it's not always easy, naturally speaking. But when you've got the relationship, and you've got the empowerment, and you've got the access, and you've got the life of God. We used to sing a song, I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got His life, His nature, and His ability. I've got the life of God in me. That song, I used to go around singing it as a teenager because it would remind me that God lived in me. And it reminded me that I was never alone. When you're never alone, you've got access. Come boldly before the throne of what? Grace. What's in the throne? Grace and mercy. What do you need to live? Grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I believe that you understand that we are being lifted into a different place, and it is real. It is real. A real lift. A real lift. God wants to lift us like never before. I believe, prophetically speaking, He wants to lift us as a church. He wants to lift us as a church. I believe that He wants to take us to a different place, a different level. I know people are still getting over the pandemic. We're seeing numbers come down. We're seeing restrictions being eased in a lot of states nearby, as well as our own. And Connecticut's going to be lifting some of their mask mandates and things in the middle of May because most of their population is going to be vaccinated. I just want to encourage you, wherever you find yourself, there is a real lift for you. That lift is only found in Jesus. It's only found in Him. So if you're watching today and you don't know Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to get to know Him. Invite Him into your life and experience a different lift. To be born again by the Spirit of God. It's real simple. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this way. It says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and you confess Him with your mouth, you'll be saved. It's real simple. You believe in your heart Jesus died for your sins. He was raised from the dead for you. Confess Him as your Lord. Make Him your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Accept His forgiveness by faith. And you can do it by just saying this simple prayer. I'm going to go ahead and pray this, and you can pray it out loud if you would like. Just repeat me these words, okay? Say, Father God, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That He died for my sins. That He was raised from the dead for me. And right now, I call Him my Lord and my Savior. I receive His forgiveness. And I'm walking in a real new life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, message us. Let us know. I believe God wants to minister great, great grace to you. Amen. Praise God. If you have any questions, please message us. Remember, this Wednesday night, we won't be having Foundations Live, but we'll encourage you to just pick up back with us the next week on the Heroes of Faith. Let's close with our sending out verse right now. Psalm 121, 7 and 8, and it says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in.